As we head into a slow year of streaming growth, Netflix could be looking at ads and licensing to boost revenue. Instead, it wants to squeeze more revenue out of existing users. Listen on to find out more.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media joins me. Hey there, Colin. How is everything on your end?
Everything's doing pretty well, Will. I've been sifting through the news as usual, and we have a couple of really interesting topics that sort of indirectly related, well, actually they're fairly directly related with each other, right? And that's the general topic is some moves Netflix could make and is making. And you're going to kick us off with a piece that you wrote this week that I thought was really interesting, where you're talking about Netflix doing an ad-supported tier.
Right, and podcast listeners who may also be loyal Video News readers know that this has been a topic that I have addressed in the past, and I may be a little bit like a dog with a bone that I can't.
So is this a hobby horse of yours you're jumping on today?
I'm a hobby horse, or I just can't let the bone out of my clenched teeth about this topic. I'll fully admit, but yeah, I mean, I have believed for a long time that Netflix would benefit from introducing a lower-priced advertising-supported tier. And they have been asked about this in the past in any number of different settings and have always resisted the idea, saying that they really believe that their user experience and user expectations are about an ad-free experience. And that obviously they've done very well with that, and that there was no reason to change. And, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for that brand positioning, that ad-free brand positioning that Netflix has in the market. And no doubt, as a longtime Netflix subscriber, it is a joy to know that I can turn on a show and, you know, binge watch 4 or 5 episodes and never have any interruptions in my viewing experience. I think that's, you know, fantastic. But at the same time, I recognize that viewers are not monolithic, and that there are all types of viewers across the spectrum of, you know, budget availability and preferences, and that have other subscription services in their lineup, and that the idea of offering options for some part of the viewing universe, whether they're subscribers currently or maybe not subscribers, through a lower priced ad supported tier, I think would be beneficial. So, you know, this is, I think, particularly meaningful right now because there's been a fair amount written recently that Netflix, coming off of the huge 2020 subscriber addition year that it had, primarily due to the pandemic, of course, is now facing a little bit of the music stopping moment, because as the world opens up and vaccine rolls out, people are no doubt going to be spending their time on lots of other things, and that could lead to higher churn for Netflix. So rather than losing those subscribers completely to churn, the idea that Netflix would offer them a home with a lower priced service that may also include ads, I think would make a lot of sense for them. And it's not as if Netflix would be plowing any new ground with this, because there are already a number of other streaming services that offer ad-free and ad-free subscription model, but also a lower priced ad-supported model. So, you know, Hulu, of course, I think has been a leader in this. They actually reduced the price of their ad-supported tier probably a couple of years ago or so now, but they have a $5.99 per month ad-supported tier. That's a $6 discount to its ad-free edition. Discovery Plus has a $4.99 per month tier, which is a $2 discount to the ad-free. Peacock has a $4.99 per month tier, which is a $5 discount. They also, of course, have a free tier. And Paramount Plus, which just launched, has a $5.99 per month ad-supported tier, which is a $4 discount to their ad support, their ad-free tier. So all of those services are in market. I think they're training viewers to expect that they will have a choice as to whether they want to pay more and have an ad-free experience or pay less and have an ad-supported experience. And now, of course, in June, HBO Max is going to be launching its ad-supported tier as well. And they didn't disclose what that price is, but no doubt there will be a discount there as well. So, you know, all of these different services, I think, have really paved the way for viewers to expect to have an ad-supported, lower-priced option. And, you know, beyond it being good for Netflix retention, I think it's also would be a, you know, huge new revenue opportunity for Netflix, because advertisers are really hungry for adjacency to premium content, streaming premium content right now, and all the more so for long-form content that's viewed on connected TVs. So Netflix is, you know, by far the biggest provider of premium content that does not allow advertisers to be adjacent. So I think advertisers would really welcome that opportunity. And, you know, that's not to say that there isn't some work that Netflix would have to do in order to put the infrastructure in place. But, you know, I think for all those reasons, Colin, the idea of a low-priced ad-supported tier would make a ton of sense for Netflix.
Well, I'm not sure if they're going to do it, as I think we've discussed in the past. But I will tell you, Will, I've been very impressed with the ad-supported services that I've been using just lately. For example, Peacock. We've actually watched several shows on Peacock. And I got to tell you, the viewing experience is great. The ad load is very light, and the ads that I see seem to be somewhat targeted to me, so they're actually a little bit more relevant. I'm not seeing stuff that's completely irrelevant to me. And the viewing experience has been very good. So I'm actually reasonably impressed with that. I agree with you, absolutely. Advertisers would queue up, I think, to work with Netflix. They've established such a strong brand in the marketplace. And as you say, getting premium advertising opportunities, there's definitely a dearth of those. There's no question, I think, that Netflix can translate that premium brand into, I think, a very high value for advertisers and for them. But I, the one thing I would say to that is, first of all, I remain skeptical that Netflix would do it. I think both Ted Sarandos and Reed Hastings are both sort of purists about the service. But if they're smart, and they are certainly smart guys, I think that they will probably watch very carefully what happens with HBO Max when they launch their tier, their lower priced ad-supported tier. Certainly, Jason Kilar has been very clear that he has advertisers queuing up at the door to work with him on his service. And what little they've said is actually really interesting. One of the things that I was expecting them to do was to sort of exempt some content and keep that for behind the paywall viewing completely. For example, HBO content, which has always been a premium. But actually, he said in a couple of presentations, a couple of discussions, that they actually will have HBO content in front of the paywall, but that content will not be interrupted by advertising. He says what they're going to do is they're going to advertise before the show and after the show, but not during the show, so people still get that pristine experience. So I think there's a lot to be learned from HBO Max's experience when they launch this ad-supported tier for Netflix. They can watch the impact on growth and the impact on revenue coming into the service as well. So that's what I would be doing if I were them. I would be open-minded And I will be watching very closely about what happens with HBO Max. And certainly my experience with Peacock, very, very positive. And so I think that the advertising load and the innovation that they're putting into the advertising there is really working for me, and I suspect for many other people.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll certainly be watching HBO Max. I think another thing that's got to be very much on their minds is what happens with subscriber growth, particularly here in the U.S., where I think it's they're getting closer and closer to a point of saturation. And we'll talk in a moment about this whole password sharing crackdown, which is, I think, another indication that they recognize that they're at the saturation point. But I guess my, feeling is that, if they were to report a contraction in U.S. subscribers, which absent the pandemic, I think was probably a 50-50 chance in Q1 2020 and probably a 90% chance in Q2 20. And now, again, with the pandemic receding, starts to become more likely in Q1 and Q2 of 21. I think if they see that kind of a contraction coming, again, your point about being purists about the brand experience, which I think is very much admirable, and I like that a lot from a viewer standpoint. But I think that, as you say, they're smart guys. I think that that would probably yield at some point to the idea of opening up this new revenue stream, this ad-supported revenue stream, and also trying to address churn in a more proactive way with a lower cost tier. So, Netflix has been very fortunate because it's been an unending, growth model for years now. So they haven't had to necessarily contend with a contraction in subscribers and thinking about diversifying revenue stream. But I think that day is coming soon.
Well, it's funny. I think they are more likely to do something else that was reported this week, Will, and that is that they apparently had considered or have been considering licensing content to TV networks.
Yeah.
And, I really like this idea. One of the things that I've noticed about ViacomCBS is that company is very savvy in managing its rights. And that they are, I think, pioneering the fact that, you can license to even competing services. And let's be clear, they've done that with Ray Donovan to Peacock and quite a lot of other content titles that they've been licensing. You can do that and yet still, I think, maintain your own healthy service. And, let's be honest, Netflix has quite a lot of library titles now, which they of their own originals, which they can license out, which I think they could license to TV properties and even other SVOD services without harming their business at all, without losing subscribers, without any of the possible downsides. So I see that as an opportunity for them to earn more revenue without damaging their business and without touching the pristine experience that Netflix provides.
Yeah, I certainly don't think the two opportunities are mutually exclusive. I think the licensing opportunity is real, as you said, something that they'll probably pursue as well. I think the ad-supported approach, again, it has the issue of compromising the sort of the brand purity, as you put it. But it's becoming more and more accepted. We'd probably have a bigger pop from an investor standpoint. I think investors would view that as a bigger deal than licensing. Those are two of the ideas. There's yet a third idea kicking around these past couple of weeks that Netflix may potentially follow up on to try to bump up subscriber acquisitions again. But this one is even murkier, and you're going to talk more about it. This is the idea of cracking down password sharing.
So this, this has been reported in the news that that Netflix is actually trialing this with a small number of their customer bases. What they're doing here is if they detect what they consider an unauthorized customer, they pop up a window when you log in, And they basically ask, they ask you this: if you don't live with the owner of this account, you need your own account to keep watching. And they, what they do is they offer you an opportunity to sign up yourself. And they also say you can verify if you are the authorized user. They, you can verify either with a text message to a registered cell phone or with an email to a registered email address. So those are the two options that they give you. And it's not like this is a surprise, Will. Actually, back in 2019, Craig Peters, who's Netflix's chief product officer, did mention that they were looking at doing something here, but that they were going to be very careful and respectful, et cetera, et cetera. I think they must have put this on hold during the teeth of the pandemic last year. Possibly, I suspect that they might have been ready to try something even before. But anyway, here they are, they're trying this. And what this set me off thinking is, okay, so who are they really going after here? And so I went back to some data that I worked with IBM Cloud Video on back in 2017. And we actually went out and asked people in detail about password sharing. And what we found then was 3 in 5 of people in the US said that they were actually password sharing. That's 3 in 5 of people that used SFOD services said that they were password sharing. But we went on and we actually asked who they were sharing those passwords with. And it's 88% of those who said they were sharing said they were sharing with family members. So, you know, only 12% are going outside the family circle. So let's be very clear who Netflix is going after here. They're going after their own customers and trying to get their own customers to stop sharing passwords with family members as a convenience to them. And this just, you know, this seems to me to be a very risky path to go down. The fact that they're going after the customers, this I think inevitably will end up costing their customers more. Because, one thing I know that will happen for sure is the people that they're sharing the passwords with, they will want help. They're probably kids at college, young adults who are just getting started, that type of thing. They are doing this not because they want to cheat, but because they need a little help, a little financial help. They're younger, just getting started. And that's a way a parent can help their child going forward. So I think that's one thing. The second thing is that just the checking itself could get really annoying. I wonder how Netflix will be able to differentiate if it's me on a mobile phone outside my house when I'm traveling on business versus somebody that's watching on a connected TV. How about if I'm at a relative's house and I want to watch there while I'm there? Do I have to do this verification step every time I do it? So I'm really concerned that this will anger consumers. And I want to finish here, Will. There's one story, this actually directly affects me, because about a year and a half ago, I have a relative who's not particularly well off, a very close relative of my family, and they were looking for a way that they could watch Netflix because they'd heard about the great shows. So I called Netflix and I asked them what to do. And they told me to share my password with this close relative. And actually what I did was I upgraded. And the reason I upgraded was I wanted to avoid the issue where we have too many simultaneous streams, because Netflix already has a restraint on sharing because it limits the number of simultaneous streams. So in the basic tier, it's one stream. In the standard tier, it's two streams. And in the upper tier, the premium tier, it's four. You can have four simultaneous streams. And certainly there would have been a problem there, because I know for sure that my relative would have been watching roughly about the same time as we would very often. So I wanted to avoid that situation. And so all of this makes me wonder if this is quite the wise move that Netflix should be taken it should be taking right now. It seems really odd when we're just beginning to come out of COVID-19 lockdowns and all of that for them to be trying this right now. One other thing here is I do think this will capture a lot of the people who are really bad actors here, who are stealing passwords or have been using a password that they got from a roommate that they haven't lived with in a long time. It will certainly stop that. But I don't know. This seems to me a fairly risky strategy to be going down right now, and that there are better, as we've talked about, there are better avenues that they should be exploring if they really want to increase revenue.
Yeah, I think all those points are really well made, Colin. And I hear you that it's, you know, this whole definition of what's considered a household and who's, you know, who should be authorized to be able to use that password is, you know, going to be is very murky. I think it's going to be very difficult for Netflix to draw a very hard line on. As you say, if you're paying for a plan that already includes four concurrent users, then you as the subscriber believe that you have the right to run the service four times at the same time. And whoever's, you know, you believe is you want to authorize to use one of those concurrent streams, whether that's a kid who's away or an in-law who's, you know, wherever, or, you know, a friend who has budget issue, whatever it may be, you know, you feel like that's what you've bought in for. You've bought the subscription plan covering four streams, and those are your streams to do with as you choose. And so for Netflix to now, you know, start putting you or these others through a bunch of hoops to verify those on the basis of a very sort of murky definition of who's entitled, I completely agree with you. I think it's a recipe for subscriber backlash. And ultimately, that's only going to lead to churn, dissatisfaction, you know, you name it. It does not seem like a very friendly, you know, approach, especially as you point out, 88% of people who are saying they're sharing a password are doing so with a family member. So, yeah. You know, it's one thing to try to go after the 12% that are stealing, quote unquote, but don't upset the 88% in the process.
Yeah, and as we've been talking about, this is it's a really difficult time for them to be doing this on many levels, because not just because there's a lot of people who are hurting out there, that's for sure, from the pandemic and are unemployed. That's one thing. But the other thing is that, as we've talked about, you know, people are coming out of lockdown now. Their interests in services may drop. Their time that they can spend with those services may drop. And as we have said many times in the past, you know, you don't want to give somebody an excuse to cancel you who is only using your service lightly. And I got to tell you, you piss them off by making it difficult to use in a situation where they want to use. And I know I do irrational things when I get mad. I'm sure one of those things could easily be to just cancel the service. I mean, goodness me, is there enough competition in this business for people to find something else to watch? And I also checked, Disney allows four simultaneous streams with their service at their entry level. Well, there is only one tier, right, for Disney service. So, yep. You know, this is a kind of a risky path for them to be going down. I should say, though, they do say in their agreement, usage agreement, that it is should only be used by people in the same household. But, you know, you can define household in many different ways. And I thought they were going with a more looser definition. But apparently they're getting ready to tighten it up. This is only a trial. They may decide to not go ahead with this, rolling this out across the entire customer base. So I guess we will have to wait and see what they do.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic, Colin. Let's wait and see what they do. And again, I think keeping an eye on that, you know, subscriber number here in the U.S. in the first quarter and the second quarter, it will say a lot about what their intentions are going to be. If that base contracts, I think they're going to be, you know, eager to do something to demonstrate that they're you know, that they're addressing it. So anyway, I think that might be all we have time for this week, Colin, right?
I think so.
All right, to be continued, good chatting, and thanks everyone for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News and Screen Media Podcast.